May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Well, this is the second Sunday of Easter on the church calendar. We're in a period that's often called Easter Tide. It means the time after Easter goes up to a specific time, which is Pentecost, which will be another big church celebration, another important day in the history and the life of the church. But during this time of Eastertide, many of the gospel readings are concerned with post-resurrection, that's after-resurrection appearances of Jesus. There are several of them in the gospel. There are the ones that we find in John, Mary Magdalene in the garden, these two appearances of Jesus in the house with the disciples, once when Thomas wasn't there, once when he was there. Jesus' appearance to seven of the apostles at a lake in Galilee. In Luke, you have Jesus appearing in the house, and you have the appearance on the road to Emmaus. In the original version of Mark, didn't have any. It just kind of ended with this mystery of discovery of the empty tomb, but then later on, somebody added one. They just felt that, well, the other gospels have them, I guess, so we better give one of them to Mark. And in Matthew, the post-resurrection appearance, the angels tell the disciples at the tomb that Jesus is going to go ahead of them to Galilee. And when they meet him in Galilee at the time of the ascension, he gives them what we call the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Now, it seems to me that most of the time, teachers will know better than this, but most of the time when we think about teaching, we think about talking. Lots of talking, you know. Here I am up here preaching. We have Sunday school classes where teachers teach lessons. People think about sharing the love of Jesus often in terms of people coming up to you and asking you things like, have you been born again? Do you know the Lord? But I don't think that teaching really equals talking. Part of it is, but it's not the whole thing. If it would work, I think, if we could just go around and tell the story of Jesus and the resurrection, if we lived in a world where the people we're talking to had never heard the story. But Jesus, you know, in the gospel today said, you know, even as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. So how do we go about being sent in a world where most people that we're going to encounter, unless any of you planned a trip to a remote Brazilian jungle where the people have had no contact with civilization for the last 2,000 years? I didn't think so. Since most of the people we encounter have heard something about it, they may not have gotten the straight story, but they formed some impression of what this is all about. However we talk to them, with them, or at them, they're likely to hear it through the filter of their previous impressions and experiences, be they good or bad. So how do we get past that barrier? I mean, Jesus made it very clear in so many places, in the preparation he did with his apostles and in the post-resurrection experiences today, where he says, even as the Father sent me, so I send you, or when he's talking to Peter and he says, feed my sheep, you know, take care of my sheep, or the Great Commission from Matthew, that we are called not only to receive the wonderful gift of the resurrection and that new life, but to go out and share it. Well, teachers know, if they didn't know it before they took their first education class, they're going to learn real soon that learning is not just hearing. That's called auditory learning. There's also visual learning, reading, seeing things, but there's also kinesthetic learning, which means doing, involving the whole body, sometimes touching, manipulating things, taking those cutout letters and arranging them in the order of the alphabet, fitting shapes into puzzles, drawing, doing, build, you know, when you get into STEM education, building all kinds of things. I have a hunch that Thomas might have been a kinesthetic learner because he said, unless I touch his hands and put my hand in his side, you know, I just can't really grasp it. So it is perhaps what we ought to be thinking about doing is doing what St. Francis of Assisi said a long time ago, which is preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. Got that? Something worth memorizing. Preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. Well, what does that mean? It means that we speak not just through our words. You know, you've all heard the saying, actions speak louder than words. In the epistle lesson, in the Acts of the Apostles that we heard today, when the council is pulling in Peter and John because they're out there telling people about Jesus, there's a backstory to that that's in chapter 3. They're going to the temple, and they encounter a man who is lame, who is paralyzed. You know, he is not mobile. He's waiting to be healed. He's begging for coins, for something to sustain himself since he can't work. And Peter and John say, well, you know, we don't have any money with us. And I bet they were telling the truth. Some of us sometimes are not when we say that to people. But they said, but we can give you something even better. And they healed him. You hear how he was standing there with him before the council. Once they healed him, and people who'd seen this man begging by the temple day in and day out for who knows how long, see him standing up and walking around and talking to the disciples, everybody wants to know what's going on. Then Peter and John start explaining to them that it was by the power of Jesus that this man was healed. And that's when word got back to the chief priests and the elders that right there on the steps of the temple, there are people preaching about Jesus. We thought we were done with this, but no. So they hauled them in, and you heard the story from there on out how the apostle, you know, the chief priest and the elders said, well, you know, we can't deny that it happened because everybody, you know, tons of people saw it. They're all talking about it. But at least we can tell these two to cut it out, don't talk about Jesus anymore. And although Peter said it very politely to them, he basically responded, fat chance. You can't stop us from talking about Jesus. It's who we are. It's who we are. So we can learn from that story that it doesn't start with talk and then go to doing something. In that story, and in many stories, in the Gospels and all kinds of things, it starts with Jesus, or in the Acts of the Apostles, the apostles doing something, and then that brings the opportunity to share what moves them to do it and what empowers them. Now there's, you know, and if you look at the story in the gospel today, the disciples, I mean, they, when, excuse me, when Thomas comes back, I don't know where he was, but when he comes back, and they have got to be excited out of their mind, and they're telling, we've seen the Lord, he's risen, you know, and it says in Luke that Jesus showed them his hands, and they're just excited, and he just, the words, even no matter how excited the utterances are, just can't convey it. He needs something concrete, which Jesus grants him. But in the meantime, they don't tell him to go away till you believe, or they don't just keep haranguing him about it, saying, oh, no, we really saw him, you've got to believe. No, they just say, okay. He continued to hang out with him, because there he is the next week. A week later, they let him, in his own time, find his way, with God's help, of course, but they trust that God will give him what he needs. I think there's another quote that I just love. It's from Madeleine L'Engle, who wrote A Wrinkle in Time. And she said this, "We do not draw people to Christ by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it." Let me read that again. We do not draw people to Christ by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it. We're part of a denomination that throughout time and history has taken that showing a light so lovely by its actions seriously. And this congregation, throughout its history, has done that as well. But I just want to share one thing that's been going on in our denomination for the last, well, it started in 2019, and I think it began here in our conference in the association in Chicago. Now, even though we have things like Obamacare available and other kinds of public health available, there are many, 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 many people, you probably know some, maybe you have been one, who have really outstanding medical debt that they may have acquired when they didn't have insurance, or because they had huge deductibles and copays and whatever. Many of those people are people who live at or below the poverty line. Now, there is a company that buys up that medical debt and then goes after the people to try and collect it. But they will negotiate. So the churches, the UCC churches in Chicago, raised enough money to erase $5.3 million in medical debt for 6,000 families in the Chicago area. Now that has spread to other conferences and other places. $104 million of debt affecting 10,757 households in Ohio was erased. 1,600 households in Tennessee had their medical debt erased. It's happened in Florida, it's happened in Arkansas, it's happened in D.C., it's happened all over the country. Churches are raising money to go to that company and basically, for pennies on the dollar, buying these people's medical debt, paying it off to this company, buying it, and then sending them a letter saying that their debt, their medical debt, has been taken care of. Isn't that amazing? That is so cool. I think everybody, every church should be doing that. But meanwhile, this congregation is helped start a food pantry that serves hundreds, over 100 families, clearly. A couple hundred at least. Jim, how many a month? Pardon? Couple hundred families a month. And not only did we help start it, we continue to support it in major ways, both by showing up to help pack holiday meals, our collections of food, you know, the pastor's annual obstacle fund on Harvest Home Sunday. I love that. Help people from this congregation helped start the hospital in town. Bill served on the board for years. We've support pads now, and but at one time, this church was a place, before they had a building, where people actually slept. The churches would take turns, I think a week at a time, and people who were homeless and had no place to sleep, so they didn't have to sleep out. When I was here, I think it had to stop because of the pandemic, but when I was the interim here, we hosted dental clinics in the fellowship hall for the, they brought the kids who were in Head Start here to get their dental checks. The church is a polling place. The Women's Guild supports all kinds of things, all kinds of community services. We've had fundraisers for St. Jude. We have the clothing closet, and I think we're going to get that started up again. A couple of us are going to work on that. I think is Jill here today? Yeah, I don't know. Jill and I are planning to get together and get some other people, and we're going to try and work it so that, like, you can volunteer like once a month. You don't have to be there all the time. We're going to set up rotating crews. But all of those things, that's how we shine the light that is so lovely that people want to know with all their hearts the source of it. It's always an opportunity to invite someone to come and join us for worship, as well as other things, the Thanksgiving dinners that we had for a while, all of those things. So my hope and prayer for all of us is that we pray hard about how we can shine the light. That we dream big, like those churches in Chicago dreamed big. How much medical debt can we wipe out for people in our communities? And that we dare much so that we can get out there and preach the gospel at all times and, when it's necessary, use words. Amen.